Hello, welcome to Off Curve. I'm Wicked Good, and I am talking to you about Hearthstone from my comfortable chair in my streaming lair in my house, because I am not driving, but for a very good reason, because once again, it is time for another Hearthside chat with your friend and mine, Coin Concede's own Ridiculous Hat. Welcome back to the show once again, Hat. It is a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me again, buddy. It's we've kind of done these wind down episodes. I don't usually get in at the start of seasons with you. I usually get in at the end of seasons, the end of years, and we just kind of look back and reflect. And I think we originally planned this as a talk about the Rise of Shadows meta, but I expect this episode's going to go a little bit of a different direction.
Yeah, I mean, generally when you're coming on the show, we're either talking about deck lists or we're talking about our feelings. And since there are no deck lists that are really new to talk about it, that means that we're left with the other one. So this is going to be a how we're feeling about the game check-in, among other things. But before we get into that, as much as you have been playing ladder, because I know when I was as of the last episode of Coin Concede that I was listening to in the car today, you had not been playing super a lot of ladder, but in so much as you've been playing ladder, how's your ladder been going?
So Tavern Brawl, which is not ladder, but is really enjoyable. I finished 3 runs under 20 minutes and I was pretty happy about that. Rafam is busted and Dr. Boom is busted. And so I jammed both of those and I think both of them, I was like 19 minute mark. I naturally play pretty fast and I click a lot through the animations, like not super high wild legend ladder snip snap 80 damage fast to reference.
You need outside help for that anyway.
Yes.
And a willingness to permaban your account.
Why?
I don't know.
Neither here nor there. But what I have in Bring the Ladder, in my listener series match this week, I said, okay, I'm going to bring 4 decks that look fun. And I brought Token, Bloodlust, Stormbringer, Shaman, like full Token. I brought Zoo with Omega Agent and Barista Lynchian in it.
Oh, that looks so much fun.
It is very fun. You lose some points in your aggro matchups, but you gain a lot in your control matchups because sometimes you just say, okay, well, I have 13 4/5s that you have to deal with now. I brought Viper's Face Hunter, which I can't figure out, and I've gone face a lot, but it seems to just not be good enough at anything. But I gave it to Mooseness over in Blister Guy's Discord, and he's like 12-2 with it, so I don't know. I'm sure there's something there. I haven't cracked the nut yet.
One face deck that you is two face for you? Is that what this is? Have we finally found your limit?
It's not. It feels like not really a face deck. It's like kind of. It's Beast Mech Hunter. It's both.
Huh.
It's strange. It's a strange deck. We'll talk about that later. I can't figure it out, but I'm sure there's something there, but I haven't made it work yet. And then Kibler's Test Rope. And that deck has been unbelievably fun and also actually good. From rank 4 to rank 3, I'm 8-1 with it. It's legitimately good. And also, I got to play a 1-mana Shudderwalk to re-trigger my Hagatha 5/5, the Drustvar Horror, that cast the Stormbringer after a bunch of other stuff in my rogue deck. So it's entertaining, and I got a Nozdormu.
Oh, well, I mean, obviously. I mean, you can't finish a game like that without Nozdormu. I played a couple of games of that today, and I had a Dimensional Ripper off of a Blink Fox that gave me 2 copies of Ziliax. And then I test and replay the Dimensional Ripper, which gave me 2 more Ziliaxes. Zilii? I don't know. And then I later played another, play the Dimensional Ripper. I definitely got 2 sets of Ziliaxes, and then another Dimensional Ripper pulled out 2 Groms from a test. Oh, because I shadow stepped the test. So the second test.
Of course.
So the second test, after I played Academic Espionage, gave me 2 Groms, and then I played I later drew a 1-mana Dimensional Ripper, which also gave me 2 Groms, that all went face, because that's the only place that Grom knows how to go. So I didn't actually get to use the Rampage that was in my hand along with the Grom, because they were done by that point, but that was a fun game. especially because the Warrior started out emoting, and I got to leave a return thank you at the end of that game, which is always my favorite kind of BM.
There's one way I can describe that game, Steve.
Yes. I didn't know I was getting the full soundboard treatment. Like, this is an honor.
I have set up, so I also have a backup copy of your audio, just in case. You never know.
Okay, you know, I mean, there is lightning, so, you know, we could need it. But, I mean, and I've been trying some other things. Like, I tried Mech Paladin, and I climbed with that fairly well, but that's the kind of deck, like, I can win five games and lose one. And, like, the one loss, the way that the loss goes just feels worse than, like, all five of the wins combined, so I can't climb with it for very long because I lose, like, two games in a row and I feel like I'm just done because I've just, like, sat there and not actually done anything in the game where I lost. And so, some Cyclone Mage to break it up and occasionally with the Rez Priest, but I think the Rez Priest could be very good with the cards that we're seeing, but probably not yet. It's almost there. But it just feels like it needs, like, one more Resurrect card, which, you know, we're getting, so maybe.
Yeah, Psychopomp is just going to be, we're not going to do card reviews because you have 6 hours budgeted for Andrew, but I will say that Psychopomp seems really strong.
Psychopomp is my new BFF. We'll just put it that way. But this is not a Priest main show, even though we are all Priest mains in training on this show. But in any event, we were planning to do a wrap-up show, as you said, anyway, but I think that there's been kind of some themes in the community, and I probably less in my Discord, I think, than I've been seeing in some others, but certainly on Twitter, and just kind of a general rumbling in the community, and this seems to be like a last month of expansion tradition at this point. Like, I feel like we've had these kinds of, I mean, this has been going back as far as I can remember, like, when I was first playing, which, like, the first time I was actually paying attention to, like, Hearthstone news was right around the BlizzCon where League of Explorers first got introduced, and, like, all the major streamers were threatening to quit because of Secret Paladin at that point, and we had no idea that a new set was on the horizon, so, like, Reddit was starting to explode, and everybody was pissed off about Secret Paladin, and all of a sudden they released a Murloc with a monocle and an English accent, and everybody was happy again. But this seems to be kind of like a cycle that as we get into reveal season, everyone kind of gets tired of the thing that's in front of them, and we start hearing things about people playing other games and other games that are having better numbers, and people are dissatisfied, and it starts to go into doom and gloom territory by the time that we get close to release.
Yeah, and we had a little bit of a different landscape over the past few years. I agree that the TGT meta was the first time I remember this kind of negativity, because also the most vocal players were playing a lot of Patron, and then they nerfed Patron and left Secret Paladin behind, which had a lot of the concerns about, you know, Blizzard is dumbing the game down, blah, 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 don't care about high-skilled players, blah, 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 and these concerns were around even back then, and, you know, maybe that meta wasn't the most enjoyable, but we also didn't even know that Standard was a thing yet. It didn't exist yet, and the concept of Standard didn't exist yet. We thought that every card was going to stay legal forever, because they announced Standard at the end of LOE when they announced Whispers. So there still wasn't really an end in sight, but yeah, that was when fatigue started to set in. I think that was more related to balance more than anything, but it was definitely the start of it. Thinking back over the last few years, I remember the concerns during KFT and KNC being a little bit of a different nature. They weren't quite as I'm quitting because of balance issues, though Bay Druid exacerbated that. I think it was more they changed the, when was it? It was right after KNC and right before Witchwood that they changed the ladder system. And before that, we've been dealing with with what? That was Karazhan, and it took them 6 months to nerf Spirit Claws.
Right.
6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. And even when they did, then we ended up getting stuck with Midrange Shaman after that. Oh, no. They nerfed Spirit Claws in KNC, right? Not KNC, in MSG, rather.
I'm a year off. I was thinking. Yeah. So that was Kraken. Mammoth. I'm trying to remember. I remember KFT was super popular, and after they nerfed Jade Druid, that wasn't really a terrible meta. So there were still some issues, but it wasn't terrible. Pirates were still around. Oh, and then Raza Priest. That was where the concerns really started, and people were tired of Jade Druid and Raza Priest. and then Witchwood, and they changed the ladder meta, and then Shudderwalk. And even though the Witchwood meta was super interesting, that was when the Genin Baku stuff started, and it we all know where that went.
Yeah, actually, we had ladder changes in both KNC and MSG, because MSG was when they put the floors in.
Oh, yeah.
That was like that February or that March, because that was like the first time that I hit Legend was after we had the floors. And before that, you could fall all the way down from rank 5 to rank 20, or even rank 1 to rank 20 with nothing to stop you in between. And then they put the floors in, and then right before the Witchwood, we got the ladder rework where you only fall back 4 floors, or 4 ranks rather, and then that messed up ladder for like the whole month.
Yeah, it's, and the history lesson, I think the nature of the concerns have changed over time, but also the symptoms have been nearly identical, and the reasons for them have been allegedly different, and in some cases legitimately different, but the way that end-of-set fatigue is realized ends up looking the same from the outside.
Yeah, and this kind of, I mean, there have been a lot of things and a lot of conversations that I've had, and kind of one of the mantras of this podcast is, I would rather talk about things for a while than type them over and over again in a Discord. And this seems to be the kind of thing that I've had this, I feel like I've had this discussion enough times that it makes sense to put it in some sort of an audio form that I can send people a link to. And this kind of got precipitated specifically by a post by TVZ Games, who is a streamer, and she's been playing, I mean, she's been playing Hearthstone for a very long time. She's also been dabbling in the various auto chesses, as you know, as most of us have. And she has a post called "My Pre-Breakup Letter and Ideas on How to Save Our Relationship" that she posted on Twitter about a week ago now. And it's a tweet longer, so it is a little bit long. So you should go and read it. And she's got some very good points. And, you know, her feelings are 100% valid. And it should also be mentioned that she is one of the people who is participating in the specialist qualifiers on a regular basis. And so she's been also spending a lot of time grinding out those tournaments, also with a 3-month-old baby, I believe, or maybe 6-month-old, which is a lot to do. So she has a number of points, and I figured that, I mean, we can kind of use this as a jumping off point, but there's kind of, and I'm not meaning to pick on her at all. Like, I think that the feelings that she's having are extremely valid, and she's, kind of struggling with the fact that she's playing Hearthstone and not really enjoying it as much. And there's a number of things going on in the environment that are also contributing to that. And meanwhile, there's Dota Underlords. And Dota Underlords is something that she's wanting to play a lot and kind of struggling with what that means for her in terms of her relationship to Hearthstone long term in this kind of transitionary period for the game.
Yeah, and I think what we're trying to do here is not tell people their feelings are wrong, because you're not, but kind of be translators. Because I think, given perspective on this game and many games, this is a normal feeling and even a reasonable feeling. And there are, again, legitimate causes both inside and outside the game for people to feel the way that they do. And there's a good bit of, I guess the word is malaise. I think you said that earlier, and I think that's accurate. There's definitely, I don't know, burnout might be the way I'd phrase it. And people are expressing that. I think it's a pretty reasonable thing. And I think that we can provide a little bit of insight as well into where is this coming from, why now, and what can people do to kind of manage their own emotions and find themselves in a happier place, in a better relationship with Hearthstone, or with just gaming in general.
Yeah, and so why don't we start with, and I think that the one place that we should kind of start is, you know, the whole, you know, all the Hearthstone people are moving to auto chess. Auto battlers, I guess, is the official name of the genre, because auto chess is a game that's in it. And if you're not familiar, the 30, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit later in more detail, but the 30-second recap is that it started out as a Dota mod called Auto Chess, where you basically you create a team, and that team fights against other people's teams, and you get bonuses based on which characters you have on your team, and you're buying and selling characters to try to make a good composition, and then you don't have any control over what actually happens, but you kind of let the battles play out, and then in between you're adjusting your team and moving them around and buying and selling and kind of trying to make the best team to be able to take down the rest of the players. And so auto chess was kind of like the starter of that genre, and then both Dota 2 has its official version called Underlords, and League of Legends has its version of it, which is called Teamfight Tactics, which is a mode within the League of Legends client. And that in particular has been taking a lot of Hearthstone streamers from, well, both games have, but TFT in particular, because Disguised Host had been playing that almost exclusively. And he's not the only one, because Dog and Kibler have also been playing it a fair amount. And he released a tweet like a couple of days ago saying that, you know, he was going to get a card reveal and he's giving it back because he doesn't feel right in the outrage in the community. And if you want a lot more information on that particular situation, I would suggest you go listen to the last episode of Coin Concede, because they cover, I don't want to make you repeat, you know, the analysis that you did there, and you know, you had a very good breakdown of like what this situation is. But at the end of the day, a major Hearthstone streamer, and he's not the only one, has been predominantly streaming Teamfight Tactics. And if you go down the list on any given day of like the top streamers in Teamfight Tactics, a lot of them are former Hearthstone streamers, either former or current Hearthstone streamers. So there's a concern that, you know, this is, you know, an exodus, that everybody who was playing Hearthstone is now moved over to Teamfight Tactics or Dota Underlord, and that is a sure sign of the decline of the game.
And this gets complicated.
Yeah.
And I want to shout out as well, before Ladder was officially released, Ranked was released in TFT. They did the pre-ranked rating. I think they had placements, and Hafu was number one.
Yeah.
So pretty awesome to see the crossover success. And this is complicated. This is a big, complicated thing. Part of me wants to make sure that we're clear. This is absolutely competition to Hearthstone.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it's winning. It's absolutely pulling players that are playing Hearthstone some of the time, but are playing this game more visibly and are drawing big audiences doing so. And they're good at it. And it's making them money. So that is a true. Those are all true things. That is definitely happening. Now, does that mean Hearthstone is dying? No, it does not. But it does mean that auto chess is, as a genre, or auto battlers, are fun games, and people should try them out, because they're definitely worth playing.
Yeah, and they kind of work the same muscles that Hearthstone does. You know, I mean, it's a turn-based game. It is a strategy game. It rewards understanding of the mechanics, and it also rewards understanding of how to work with and manipulate randomness, because there's a lot of randomness in what you're offered in the shop. There's randomness in what your opponents are being offered, which also affects what's left in the pool of the heroes that you can buy. And in Teamfight Tactics, I mean, I guess in both games, but even more so in Teamfight Tactics, there's a lot of RNG related to the items that you get along the way, and how many items you're given, and what items you're given when, and how you use them to enhance your team. And these are all skills that translate very nicely from Hearthstone, which is why a lot of those players are there. And there are also a couple of, in particular, there are a number of players in Grandmasters who have Dog, I already mentioned, and there are a number of other ones who are playing predominantly Teamfight Tactics instead of playing Hearthstone. And that's obviously a concern, because, you know, it looks like we have these players who were, you know, brought in to play Hearthstone professionally, and as soon as Grandmasters is over, they're not playing Hearthstone anymore. They're playing another game. And this is the kind of thing that it doesn't really show how hard these players are working during the Grandmaster season, because, I mean, you can tell from listening to the interviews and from, you know, reading their tweets and seeing, like, again, and there's some criticism about the players who were chosen, some of them, and we don't need to get into that, but there's been some concern about some of the players not being as serious as others. And it, but at the end of the day, it's taking a lot of time and energy to prepare for these matches for a lot of these players. And they're probably just as frustrated with the game as we are. And there's not necessarily like a player like that is going to be playing a game to show off their skills and increase their mastery. Or if they're streaming, they're streaming what people want to watch. And in both cases, at the end of a settled meta, neither of those things is necessarily as true in Hearthstone as it would be in something like Teamfight Tactics.
Well, and these are two giant issues that we're discussing at the same time, right? Suddenly, the electronic card game free-to-play genre has a lot of competition and a lot of good competition. And also, Hearthstone has changed out their esports system to have their top competitors be employees and closed off entry to that system. And boy, both of those have a ton of things to dig into. So which one do we want to go into first?
I guess what we can do is we can probably start with the esports thing, because I think that there are a number of things that kind of get conflated. And I think that the way that you and I have both described this is that Hearthstone as a game is doing a lot better than it has, but Hearthstone as an esport is kind of taking in the opposite direction. And because Hearthstone's esports scene is not good right now. I mean, objectively, there mm-hmm. are a lot of problems with it. It is closed off to a lot more people than it used to be. And there is not the same kind of clear path to improvement or to progression as there used to be, because of the fact that the top tier of that, including Worlds now, has been closed off. And so you have players who have been trying to break into that system, playing these qualifiers that are 8, 10, 12, sometimes 14 and 16 hours long, day after day, sometimes playing like every qualifier they can get their hands on without sleeping for 3 days. And then it's not necessarily – it's a good recipe for burnout is basically what I'm trying to say. And, you know, where I was kind of going with the Grandmasters as well is like those players have been playing Hearthstone pretty much nonstop for like 9 weeks. And this month is effectively their off season before both the new set comes out and then they start preparing for Seoul and then for Grandmaster Season 2. So, I mean, I don't necessarily blame anybody for wanting to take a break and play this other game, which is also looks fun, while they have the opportunity, because like as soon as August 6th comes around, it's going to be right back to Hearthstone for them, both, you know, professionally and I mean, that's when a lot of the interest is going to come back to the game as well.
The esports thing might be doing damage that is not quite repairable, or at least is going to result in some very visible churn. The esports situation right now is bearing a lot of the negativity for Hearthstone, and it's legitimately poor. The feelings that players are getting this year are not only of being unsupported, but of kind of the despair of winning the biggest tournament of the year is not enough to get them to Worlds and is not enough to even guarantee them entry or access to Grandmasters. Not to mention that Grandmasters is kind of an unappealing system. The viewer numbers are not really there because it's just weekly filler content more than anything. Specialist as a whole has failed to really engage viewers because the format is much harder to balance. It tends to stabilize around fewer decks because one deck is less than 4 decks per person. That's just math. And the GM players, the Grandmasters, they are no longer competitors. They are employees. The first season especially, they cannot be relegated. So they are staying in Grandmasters. They are going to play Hearthstone. And they are going to play Hearthstone specifically at the same time every week, every weekend. Hard time commitment that they have to be at no matter how they're feeling that day. And that's what they're going to do. Now, streaming has many, many mental health and physical health issues that we will not get into here, otherwise it'll be a 3-hour-long podcast, but it's not the same kind of commitment, right? You have to play a game when you want to stream. It is in your best interest to be consistent, But you can stream more, you can stream less, you can change your game, you can do whatever you want to do. Because if people show up and give you money, then that's great. And if they don't, then whatever. But most of these streamers, they stream when they want. They can flex a day. They can say, I'm taking today off. They can say, I don't want to play Hearthstone right now. They can do whatever, but they enjoy streaming and they can opt into Hearthstone as opposed to having to opt out. But imagine, let's say you have a job, listener, and you probably do. We probably do. We definitely do.
Yeah.
There are some days where I don't want to go to work and I have to go anyways. And I do not, after that day, come home and do more work unless I absolutely have to and am obligated to. And these players that are contracted to play Hearthstone at a specific time and a specific day are probably not going to have the same relationship with Hearthstone that they did before, when they could play it when they wanted to. And it was a hobby that also tied into their revenue stream as opposed to a job.
Yeah.
It's just going to be dramatically different.
And I mean, there is something to be said about diversifying, you know, your gameplay to stave off burnout. Like, I've been very open on pretty much every episode this month that I'm not really trying to get to Legend this month, because I don't think it's healthy for, and I'm very concerned about burning out on the game, and I don't want to do that because I do love the game and I don't want to burn out on it. I mean, you've done the same thing. You've taken a long, you know, even longer stretches than that from playing ladder and just, you know, go off to competitive and playing those other formats that you enjoy, because, you know, and I know you've talked about that a lot on Coin Conceit as well, because you do need to keep yourself in a healthy relationship with the game. And I don't necessarily know that for someone who's in Grandmasters, for instance, or even someone like Kibler, who, he's a Hearthstone personality, but he didn't start out as a Hearthstone personality. I mean, he came over for Magic. He's streamed a number of other games that he's been involved in or promoting over the years. And, you know, he's clearly enjoying TFT as well, and he's kind of splitting his stream between Hearthstone and TFT. And I think that's healthy. Like, I've been playing a lot more Teamfight Tactics than I have been Hearthstone this month, too, because I've been enjoying that, and I am not super feeling grinding ladder again with the same decks that I was already a little bit frustrated with, and that frustration could turn into burnout at pretty much any second if I try to push it too hard. So, like, a whole bunch of players who are, when the game is objectively at its most stale over the 4 month cycle, because we're not getting any more new decks, and part of that may be due to Specialist as well, that may have an effect on it, because we're not seeing any of these other decks in like a multi-deck format in tournaments, so that doesn't trickle down to the player base. Like, usually around this time, both there's a tournament, which there isn't, and there's some sort of like a last minute tournament before, like a couple weeks before the rotation happens, or in this case the new release, that where somebody brings some wacky off the wall deck and then people start playing that. That's kind of the like Water Rogue at the end of one of the cycles has been that, in not the one that we have now, but like the one with Finja, like way back when.
And we don't have a Water Rogue now. We have a Rogue with Sea Giants in it. A Water Rogue.
We have a Rogue of the Sea, I guess. Yes. is what we have. But you know, so that kind of, you know, lack of diversity, real or otherwise, is kind of reinforced by the competitive Hearthstone that we're seeing streamed. And that's probably not helping, you know, the game, the perception of the game at the level where you're participating in it to a degree to be listening to a podcast like this.
Yeah, I mean, the visibility issue here is with the invested high-level players. And that means, it doesn't mean you were a tournament grinder. It does not mean that you were necessarily a legend player or even a rank 5 player. It means that you soak in Hearthstone enough to pay attention to what people are saying about it. And I would not be surprised if Hearthstone is doing very, very well financially and across a broad player base. But the optics right now are poor because the high level content and competitive structure that Blizzard created isn't working. Straight up is not working and is trickling down by creating this cascade of negativity, where the content that was meant to be the world's highest level players competing at the highest level possible in an interesting and ladder friendly way has kind of backfired. People do what they see, and they see a bunch of people that are bringing the same 3 decks and then not playing Hearthstone when they don't have to, and that's being well imitated by anyone that's invested at the level that I'd say we're at.
Yeah. And this is kind of leading on to a couple of like corollary discussions, one of which is what I hear a lot, especially from players who are, you know, playing a lot of qualifiers, is ladder is meaningless. And basically because it used to be that if you got top whatever legend at the end of the month, you would get some points towards qualifying for a system. And now the only thing that ladder gets you is if you happen to place top 200, you get put into another qualifier where you're only playing against the other top 200 players and there are four spots instead of two. So ultimately, what's the point of playing ladder unless there's some reward at the end of it? And there's a couple of things there. First of all, I don't necessarily know that that's true, because there are a number of people who are not – I'm one of them – who are not invested in playing competitively but still want to see how well they can do against other players of their skill level at the end of the month. But also, like, a lot of the players who are playing Teamfight Tactics and Underlords are playing in ladder systems where there are no – tangible rewards at the end of the month. Like, there's no esports system for those either. There might be, but right now, like, if you're playing, if you're going for like the top of the Teamfight Tactics ladder, you're doing it for cookies on Twitter, but you're not actually competing for entry into an esports system any differently than you would be if you were trying to get top, you know, top 50, top 25 legend in Hearthstone.
Yeah, this just means ladder isn't fun for me right now. That's all the sentence means. It doesn't mean that it's meaningless. It means that it's not an enjoyable experience. And I believe that. We'll circle around to this. The concept of I have to keep playing this game because I have invested so much in it already. We can chill. We can play other games. Games are fun. We like other games. We like this game. We like other games. You can play whatever game is fun for you at any given time. It's for the players that feel they have to grind Hearthstone for a living. Sure, I get that, but to be about as frank as possible, there are probably way better ways to make a living. Way better ways. And the players that are making money off streaming don't need the qualifiers. So unless you were specifically competing for the sake of competing and the hope of that high-end dream, which a lot of people were last year, honestly, they were actually doing that. It's kind of hard to justify Hearthstone as a potential income stream outside of streaming right now. It is very difficult to justify, and that might be a hard reality for people to accept, because last year the system was more generous, but it wasn't generous enough to really guarantee people a healthy and safe lifestyle off of the money they were making. It just looked like it could. I would be really, really surprised if the players that were attempting to qualify last year and the players who were attempting to qualify this year saw significant quality of life changes based on income and revenue or whatever. It's just more obvious now that it is really unlikely to get to a point where money you win from Blizzard is going to be enough to sanction an adult lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are team sponsorships that go along with that too, but I would imagine there are a lot fewer of those outside of Grandmasters now, because like there's no stream time for you outside of if you do well at a Masters tour, but that's like once every 4 months, as opposed to you know every couple of weekends. I mean, there's also a lot less travel expenses too, so that makes it a little bit easier. But it's hard to get sponsors when you don't even know if you're going to be able to get on stream, let alone let alone if you're even going to get to the tournament. But I think, you know, and I feel for people. Like I'm very driven by that kind of try hard mentality. Like the time commitments have kind of gotten in the way of me want, and other things too. Anxiety feeds into it, and just like a whole bunch of other things feed into why I don't play competitively very much. But at the same time, I understand that mentality. I understand people wanting to do that and wanting to make that a goal. And I don't think that necessarily is a general feeling that ladder is meaningless. Like I still have plenty of conversations in our Discord with people who are just trying to get to rank 10 or rank 5, right? Like that's when you're not playing at a competitive level. I don't think that's necessarily the case, though. It is perfectly valid for that, for if you are at that point, for you to feel that way. Like it is valid for you to feel like ladder is not a good use of your time. Like, I get that entirely. I mean, but at the end of the day, the only reward that you're really getting out of ladder is the one that you're giving to yourself for your own accomplishment. And at a certain point, and this kind of goes back to how long this game has been around, at a certain point, that's not really enough anymore, right? Like, because you're not learning anything new, or you don't feel like you are. You know, there certainly are always things to learn, but there's kind of a skill cap that you're starting to reach where you can push past that, but then you start having to justify like the time expenditure that goes into something like that versus, you know, what you're going to get out of it. Are you going to be able to get to another, you know, like, is it worth paying for coaching now from a top legend player in order to get to that point? Well, maybe not if there's no return on your investment monetarily, right? It's an understandable feeling, but I don't think that it's – I think that that's kind of a competitive player perception that's for a very small percentage of the population, quite frankly.
Yeah, and again, I think that sentiment in some cases is echoed by – people that have been playing the game for a long time in the casual competitive sphere that I think we occupy, because it just kind of feels like, well, I'm the dog that got the car. We've talked about this a bunch of times. What do I do now? What is next? And the answer is fun if you're having it, if you want to keep playing. And if you're not having fun, there's not really a compelling argument to say, well, you should still play Hearthstone, even though it's not fun. But it starts to get into complicated territory of people feeling a sense of belonging to the Hearthstone community and feeling like I am a Hearthstone player as an identity. And those can be two separate things, and playing the game can be a third thing, and playing the sport can be a fourth thing. But it all tends to get fairly wrapped up where people feel compelled to stay a part of something, but there are aspects that are just no longer appealing. There have been plenty of times where I have been not playing Hearthstone for a month, but I still talk every single day in Hearthstone Discord, or I tweet at people talking about Hearthstone, and that is totally reasonable, and nobody will ever feel ostracized by saying, hey, I'm not playing Hearthstone right now, but being in the Hearthstone Discord, we have channels for all sorts of other games in both of our Discords. It's normal to diversify, and it's normal to feel a little bit of burnout of a game you play every day for years. Like, think about whatever console game we were all playing 3 years ago. I'm trying to remember. Was that like Breath of the Wild time? Was Breath of the Wild?
That would be like 2 years ago, or like Overwatch, I guess, would be one, because that would have been like 3 years ago, I think.
That is also a different chestnut.
Yeah.
there's a lot to dig into there, We do not have the time. But I mean, think back to whatever console game you were playing a few years ago. Let's say it was God of War. I think God of War came out in 16.
Sure.
Great game. Amazing game. Incredible game. Y'all still playing God of War today? No. I mean, you could be. If you are, I'm not judging you. You are welcome to. But I played God of War and really loved it. And then when I beat the game, I was like, okay, I'm going to go play a different game now, and I'll come back to this when I feel like it. And sometimes I will, but not always, not often. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That can happen.
Yeah. And I mean, and this kind of got me into kind of the last kind of argument that I've been hearing or concern and that's about the Twitch numbers. And I think, you know, hear me out, because this is going to be a little bit of a winding road, but I think we'll get there together. But there's a number of people tweeting with some concern. I mean, even Appa over this weekend, your co-host over on Coin Conceit, and you know, we had a reasonable discussion, but you know, he was even saying, well, like, these numbers are looking really low, and I'm really starting to get worried. And the numbers, I don't remember what the numbers were. They were somewhere in like the single digit thousands or maybe low teens or something like that. And I had pulled out a tweet from Kibler from almost exactly a year ago, which was a reply to Disguised Host saying this tweet is from almost a year ago, where Hafu was talking about the same thing about 2 years ago, where it was right before an expansion and all of the numbers were dropping. And this is kind of a cycle that happens, that, you know, Hearthstone is a game where it has the most interest around when a new set releases, and then that interest tends to dwindle up until when the next one comes out. And generally it rebounds pretty well. Like when we were having this conversation the last time, 4 months ago, it was Artifact that had 130,000 viewers in Hearthstone with not nearly that many. And Artifact is no longer a game. We've had this conversation about auto chess as well. And, you know, even like the last time around, auto chess was also taking a number of viewers from Hearthstone. And again, Hearthstone rebounded. And this is just kind of I actually found a tweet of my own from April where Hearthstone had like 200,000 views compared to Artifact. I don't know, 12. I don't know how many it had at that point. And it, you know, saying Hearthstone was a dead game with my eyes rolling. But I mean, I think that we were talking again, and we were talking about this before the show as well, where I think that the concept of Hearthstone, the game, and Hearthstone, the community is, and you could see this in TVZ Games post as well, because she's talking about what the game means to her. And like she met her husband, she got her family because of this game. And like, is this the end? And I think that the fact that the Twitch numbers are going down, I mean, it's a 5-year-old game. This is naturally going to happen. It goes in cycles predictably. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter how many people are watching Hearthstone, because I don't think that the communities that we've built are so fragile that if the interest in the game fades, that where those communities are going to all of a sudden disappear. Like I know how this feels, because like when I was in at the end of the original Xbox generation, I was part of a group of effectively dad gamers. I wasn't a dad yet, called the League of Amateur Gamers, who were basically for a bunch of people wanted to play Rainbow Six but couldn't aim. and you know, I played with them, and I played a lot of Project Gotham Racing, a lot of Lynx 2003, and then eventually the Xbox 360 came out. They all got one and I didn't. And I lost touch with a lot of those people. And I, you know, felt bad about that for a long time. But I mean, I don't think that this is that. Like, I have a feeling that – and I have full confidence that if Hearthstone were to go away tomorrow, which it's not, like, these communities would stay around, and either they would find another game to coalesce around or they wouldn't. But I don't think that that is – I think we all kind of came together because of Hearthstone, but I don't think we stay together because of Hearthstone. I think we stay together because of – the communities that we've built, and we all have something in common. But, you know, that one thing I don't think is as important as the communities that have grown up around it.
The genre of digital card game, and make no mistake, the auto battlers are absolutely card game, is flourishing. Past 12 months, we have MTG Arena really picking up, TFT Underlords to a lesser extent, and really there's actual competition in the space now. The net viewers for the genre is way up. The net viewers for Hearthstone are down. Yeah. So, Hearthstone has competition, which means people playing those games will eventually decide, hey, I want to branch out. Maybe I will try Hearthstone. People in Hearthstone will branch out to those other games. You will. I played against Eldorian from BlizzPro from the Well Met podcast in an Underlords game the other day. Now, we both tweeted about balance issues in Underlords yesterday, because there are balance issues in Underlords, like in every game. But the genre as a whole, this rising tide is lifting all boats, and everyone can share all of these gaming experiences together. We can talk about different games. We can relate about different games. We can switch between the two. We can help each other. It's great. But Hearthstone is no longer the only game in town, and for years, it really was, because no one's streaming Magic online. Trust me, you're not making rich. You're not making money streaming Magic online. So that meant if you were a streamer or a pro gamer that wanted to play a card game or any game that didn't really function on mechanics and you wanted to make money, you were playing Hearthstone and that was what you were doing. Now people have options and they're taking other options because they can for the first time in a while. I'm glad and grateful for the mental health of these folks and us folks that's available. And that means Hearthstone will still be there when we come back to it, but it's no longer the only choice, and that seems great to me. even though Hearthstone, as it stands, will have to adapt and will have to grow, which it's totally doing. We had buffs, we had nerfs, we had the best solo adventure the game has seen ever, for sure. And we've had a change in how the game is designed and approached and handled. And it's very clear that the new game director and the new direction Team 5 is going is very different from how it was before. That also takes time to adjust.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, like, if you look at the numbers, like, the trends are not actually going down. Like, I'm pulling up, there's this site called Sully Gnome. I'll throw this in Discord for you. And I'll put a link to this in the show notes as well, that does charts of Twitch numbers. And, like, the trend is going up ever so slightly. It's just that the problem is that the peak kind of distorts everything, and then everything looks like a drop from the peak, right? But, like, from, like, end of January through now, it's actually up a little bit. And I think that it's easy to kind of look at the day-to-day Twitch numbers, and they're clearly down now, you know, compared to where they were. And the peaks are below the peaks that they were, like, a couple months ago. Like, no question, right? But there's also, like, well, yeah, Disguised Toast left and took his tens of thousands of viewers with him. Well, a lot of those people are staying for Toast. Like, that's where they're going to go. And that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the game as much as, like, if that's what's going to happen, then those people were more invested in Toast than they were in Hearthstone anyway. I really do feel like a lot of the anxiety, I don't want to use the word anxiety because it's kind of conflating things, but a lot of the concern from people who are not otherwise burned out on the game is that, well, all these people are burned out of the game and they're leaving, and the game's going to go away and it's going to take my community with it. And I honestly, legitimately do not feel like that's the case. I really do feel like these are, first of all, that a lot of these people will come back as soon as the new set comes out. Some people won't. Toast certainly doesn't look like he is, and that's okay. Like, he's playing the game that he enjoys, and, like, that's fine, right? Like, we've had other large streamers leave before. We've had Life Coach and Super JJ leave. We've had Savise leave. We've had, you know, Forzen and Wreckful leave. Well, that wasn't necessarily a net negative, but whatever. And the game is okay. I mean, and I think that overall, I mean, we can have a conversation about whether the buffs were a good idea or not, but the team has been doing a lot of things this year that has been in the benefit of the game in the long term. And I would rather that they look at, you know, making these changes gradually and make these changes that they're making rather than just start chasing Twitch numbers and then doing something that might be good short term, but, you know, wreck the game in the long term. Like, I like the, as much as this month is really slow, I think that the cadence of content changes has been good. And, like, as compared to something like Eternal, which we both played past tense, and I know that in my case, like, they had, like, several meta shifts, like, four or five meta shifts in, like, a two-month period, and I just flat-out gave up because I couldn't even keep up anymore. Like, I was dusting cards that I crafted, and then eventually just got to the point where none of my decks worked because I couldn't even figure out what the meta was because I was still, like, two metas behind. And I just said, you know what? Forget it. I'm not going to spend my time trying to keep up on this game that was my secondary game to begin with. Like, I don't think that – I think that the way that the Hearthstone devs are doing things, they have problems, and the esports thing 100% needs to be addressed. And shortly, I would say. I think that that's probably the biggest drag on the game right now. But aside from that, I think they've been doing a lot of the right things over the past 6 months. And I think that that's going to keep the game sustainable for the long term, even if it's not as big as, you know, whatever the newest hit game is. And I don't think it'll ever get back to those numbers. And that's okay, because this is a game that's intended to be around for, you know, a decade or more. So they can't just look for the short term Twitch numbers right now.
Yeah. And I mean, I was pretty current on Eternal. I played it for 6 months and did pretty well.
You were like top 10, weren't? Like, weren't you like top 10 masters at one point?
I was top 50 two of the months and top 100 two of the other months of the 6 months that I played actively. did pretty okay. But after the when they released an adventure and then had an expansion, that preview started, I think, 2 weeks later, and I wasn't really happy with the meta that I found. I was just like, listen, I'm playing this because I'm used to playing it every day, and I'm doing it out of routine and not out of fun, and it's not fun right now. I just stopped playing. And I had spent some money on it. Not a ton, but enough. And the perspective that I have is I spend money to get time invested, to have something to do and hold my interest for X amount of hours. And my return on investment on money to hours was excellent with Eternal. And it's done. That relationship is done. I could still log in, but I don't really feel the need to right now. And it was fun while I played it. And then I stopped having fun. I stopped playing it. And we had active Eternal channels in both your Discord and my Discord. And we engaged with the same people that were also playing Hearthstone. And I even had a couple Eternal coachings. And we're like, hey, let's drift back to Hearthstone. Hey, let's do Magic. Might even get some Underlords coachings. I don't know. But it was a game that we engaged with and had fun. And then when people stopped having fun, they moved to something else. And that's acceptable. And the communities are built around like-minded people who got together over the same things. I agree with your statement. Hearthstone will be around even if it's not as big, and even if people take breaks from it. You're welcome to hang out in the food channel or the Doggos and Puppers channel or the Magic the Gathering channel or the Auto Chess and Friends channel, whatever. The same people that like this kind of game are going to keep liking this kind of game, and Hearthstone's still going to be fun. Dalaran Heist is fun. Tavern Brawl is fun. Ladder, when you play it, when you want to play it, is fun. But when you feel like you need to play it, or that you play it because you play it every day, that's not anywhere near as healthy. And I strongly invite people that are playing because they feel like they have to play to really step back and take a look at what the game is doing for you. And it might be doing something that you need in your life. It may very well be doing that. But if it's not, and it's not enjoyable right now, take a little time off. Give yourself the space to let yourself love Hearthstone again.
Yeah. I mean, I've been very open on this show a few times where I've said that, you know, I started playing this game around the same time that I got diagnosed with ADD. And it was at a time where I felt like I was at probably my lowest in terms of self-esteem because of that. And this was a game where I felt like I could actually be good objectively at something. And I had a rank proving to me, even if I didn't believe myself, that no, I am actually good at this. And it was something that made me feel good about that. And, you know, I've had periods where I've played way too much. And I do think that a lot of that is because I'm trying to get that feeling back. And because, you know, some of my, you know, feeling of being good at things is tied up in Hearthstone because of that, you know, kind of correlation in my life. And it takes a lot to recognize that. And then to be able to step back and still know that I'm still good at the game, even if I'm not proving it on a month-to-month basis. And, you know, that kind of is helping me keep a little bit of a more healthy relationship with the game. Like, I've played a lot less Hearthstone than I normally do. I've played a lot more Teamfight Tactics than Hearthstone, and that's okay. I'm not planning on leaving. Like, Off Curve is not going to become, you know, off shop or whatever. Like, it's not, don't worry, it's not happening. But I've also, you know, been, even before this, I was grinding, you know, seasonal characters on Diablo. Like, I've gotten a character up to Greater Rift 99, Diablo. I don't even talk about that. That's just something I do on the train. Like, that's my trade tryharding. But you know, that it doesn't mean that, you know, I don't still love the game as much as I did, and that I'm planning on, you know, streaming in the night that it comes out and opening up my packs with Maureen, and then, you know, playing a lot and talking about a million decks the week after it comes out and talking about cards for 16 decades in a row with Andrew in a couple of weekends. Like, I think that it's possible to do all those things, and it's okay, and it's healthy. And I think that, you know, if you're worried about Hearthstone because you love the game and you want it to stay around, or because you're afraid that the community is, you know, going to follow and you're going to be left behind or whatever, and you may not even be consciously thinking those things, but they may be there, and you may kind of reflect on that after listening to that, and that's okay. Like, just rest assured, we've been through this before. Like, the game is being set up for the long term, and it's a good thing, and it may not always be the same degree of fun, but it's still going to be here, and I'm pretty confident it's going to be here for a long time. And I think that the communities that have grown up around it will also be here, and will be here even if the interest in the game is not at the same level consistently.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I really feel like, you know, I said that it was like, you know, second semester of college when you're looking around and you're looking at your group of friends who you've been hanging out with for the past 4 years, and all of a sudden you're realizing that you're all going to go to different parts of the world and you're not going to be hanging out like that anymore. And I don't even think this is that, but even if it is, like, you still keep touch with you know, at least I imagine, like, a bunch of your high school or college friends if you want to. And, you know, this is the same thing. Like, I don't think that these – I've been a part of a lot of online communities, and I'm not in touch with everyone who I used to be, but I'm still in touch with a lot of those people who have – I've made an effort to stay in touch with. And I think that these communities are not going away either. I think that this is a normal thing, and it's not – I would say if you're worried, I would say don't be. I think that – you know, be sure to tell Blizzard if there are things you don't like. Like, I think that kind of conversation is healthy and when it's delivered in a non-death threat sort of way. But, you know, but I don't think that the sky is falling.
I think it's more that some people moved and they're posting pictures of the sky from where they live and it looks a little different. I don't know. I got a message 2 weeks ago from a listener and friend of Coin Concede the Avatar who had stepped away from Hearthstone a couple years back. It's like, it's not healthy for me. I'm not really enjoying it. I need to take some time away. He's still not playing Hearthstone. But a couple years later, he's like, hey, just wanted to say hi, see how you're doing. Connection is something that we will not lose and cannot lose. And it will get to the point where the way people discuss the differences between Hearthstone and Magic, they'll discuss the difference in Hearthstone and Underlords and TFT and whatever, and all these games. And new sets are still going to be exciting. But something that's important to touch on is that if you're holding out hope for a new set of cards to rejuvenate your interest in Hearthstone, it's not about the cards. Please don't just wait for the new cards. New game modes need to happen to get invested players to play again like we used to back when we had to play 40 hours a month from 16 to Legend, which was insane, by the way, and I'm glad they did away with that. But the current game modes are never going to be made to feel fresh and new permanently every day for years by new cards again, period. Just cannot happen. There's no way it can happen. And that's okay, but it's something that we all have to kind of own and accept and get used to. If you are burnt out on what Hearthstone has to offer by the buttons on the front page, those buttons aren't changing, even if the cards within them are rotating. So there are lots of options. You can play Arena, you can play Wild, you can play whatever, but if the gameplay of Hearthstone is not appealing to you right now, don't just wait for a new card and say, this will fix it. Yes, solving new metas is cool and interesting and all that, but part of the burnout and negativity we saw at the very beginning of the Rise of Shadows meta was projected and transferred onto Warrior and Rogue, when reality was, I want Hearthstone to be way more different than it is, and I want something else to do, and this isn't it. So make sure that the game modes are not, the cards are not bearing your concern about the lack of things to do. There are many things to do in different game clients, and you are more than welcome and encouraged to check them out, and it might give you appreciation and a refreshed feeling when you come back to Hearthstone and see it again with different eyes, with fresh eyes.
Yeah. I mean, like, this time 4 months ago, we were talking about the end of the end of the Year of the Mammoth and how a lot of the games felt very samey because of Baku and Gen. And now we have the literal opposite of that, where we have what some people are calling the created by meta, where a lot of games are being decided by, you know, Spirit of the Shark into Hench Clan Burglar or a bunch of cards coming off a Mana Cyclone. And we can argue about whether those games are actually being decided by those things a lot of the time. And most of the time, I would argue they're not. But regardless, like, you know, it's literally the exact opposite. The games are very different, but in a way that still doesn't feel good. And a lot of that is not going to do with the meta. you know, as you're saying, it's going to do with how you're approaching the meta and your, you know, your relationship with the game, not any particular meta. Like, you're not going to get new cards and it's going to change the game and make it better. Like, you know, and TVZ games, again, I'm not picking on what she's saying. Again, all her feelings are valid, but she's asking for a tournament mode. And I don't think a tournament mode is going to fix anything because tournament mode is not the problem. Like, yeah, Battlefy is a hot mess. And we've discussed that in excruciating detail about how Battlefy is a hot mess. I did an entire episode about it. And I know that you all have on CoinConcede have discussed that plenty as well. Like, Battlefy is a disaster. But if they switch from Battlefy to something else and it's still the same tournament format, it's not going to matter. Like, they could switch the tournament format tomorrow. That doesn't have anything to do about where the tournaments are being organized. Like, that's not really going to improve your enjoyment of the game aside from removing a couple of the scenarios where a tournament round is getting reseeded after players have been playing it for half an hour because some admin messed up because they're doing that doing the seeding of the rounds manually for some reason when we literally invented computers to do things like that for us. But I mean, again, that's like a that's not the kind of thing that's a symptom, right? Like, that's not going to make the game better for you. It's just going to make those kinds of scenarios a little bit less often. And I mean, as a competitive player, I don't want to minimize how frustrating and obnoxious that is. Like, that's unacceptable. And to have players be competing and then tell them that the round that they just played doesn't count because somebody messed up in the admin group. Like, that's and as an extension, messed up because the software probably is faulty in a way that they can't trust whatever automatic reseeding they have in Battlefy, that they have to do it manually. Like, that's unacceptable and that needs to be fixed. And that probably needs to be fixed by getting away from Battlefy. But that's even if they do that, that's not going to improve things more than like a couple of percentage points in terms of your enjoyment of the game. It's just not.
Well, when you say in client tournament mode, that means very, very different things to very different people. And if they made a best of five, bring four, ban one button in the client, oh boy, would my other game suffer. Oh my goodness, would my other game suffer. I would play that a lot for no reason other than to play it. And more game modes would absolutely give us more to do with the cards that we have. And Conquest is very different from Ladder, very, very different in a positive way. And it would be nice to have multiple options there. But I'll admit something to you, podcast listeners. We have multiple game modes in the Hearthstone client that I don't even play. I don't play Arena very much because even though it's super different, it might as well be a different game. I just play it and I'm like, okay, this is kind of neat. And I'll play it once every couple of months. And that's about it because it's still Hearthstone and it's less interesting to me than constructed in other games or playing Underlords or whatever. It's not about the cards. It's not even about the format. It's just, it's okay to like other games and it's okay to talk with your current Hearthstone friends about them. And it's okay to be afraid about where Hearthstone is going. And I think in some cases that's extremely justified, in particular the competitive aspect. I do believe there will always be people competing, but it may not be the same people this time next year. We don't really know. And this year has been kind of a misfire. But don't let those symptoms trickle down and tell you you don't like Hearthstone as a game because you're not competing in it. Unless that was 100% your outlet, you were already competing last year, you're still competing, and now where you wanted to get to is no longer accessible and there was a fighting chance, it's much more likely that the feeling of this isn't fun is related to something else. And from what I've seen, from what I've experienced personally, and from the people I've talked to, it's all about, I want to do more in the game, but I'm not sure where to go or what to do, so it feels like a routine action. And other games have felt more interesting lately. But Hearthstone's still on my plate. I played this morning. I played a bunch yesterday. I took a week off and then came back and jammed some Test Rogue, and it was really enjoyable. And I'm really glad that I came back and played, and I'm really glad that I took a week off because I feel like playing when I want to play and not when I need to play. And it's really nice to have options because it makes each game feel fresher. And if I'm ever tilted at one game, I can just roll into another one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I've been playing more Wild this month just because I haven't played it a lot. And, you know, it's fun in small doses. Like, I would get tilted off the face of the earth if I had to play against that quest mage you know, 20 times a day, but, you know, playing it a little bit here and there and, you know, jamming some Jade Druid and making some large green men, it's fun. And I guess where I want to take this back, because this whole thing started, you know, TVZ Games is our, you know, piece is putting it in terms of a breakup. And I think that if we're going to talk about, you know, the relationship of the game with the game that way, and she's talking about it in a breakup, I think that the one thing that, you know, the way I would put it is that you're never going to have a successful long-term relationship if you're maintaining the relationship with what you think the person should be as opposed to accepting them for what they are, right? And I think that Hearthstone is really the same. Like, Hearthstone kind of is what it is at this point. And it might be that if you want to be competitive in a game, it might not be this one. It might be Underlords or Teamfight Tactics might be the way that you're is going to make sense to do that, right? Like, that's okay. And maybe then that doesn't mean you need to leave Hearthstone entirely either. It means that maybe you put more time into that other game and try to be competitive in that. And then Hearthstone's your outlet, right? And then you play that to have fun. And, you know, you still keep – that doesn't mean you don't keep up with it. You don't, you know, continue to play it and maybe stream it once in a while. But it doesn't have to be your only game, and that's okay, right? But it also – it's not going to ever be the game that you want it to be exactly, right? Like, the game is what it is at this point. Like, I think that Team 5 is doing some very good things in terms of changing it and growing, you know, and maturing. But at the end of the day, it's not all of a sudden going to be the perfect game that we've always wanted it to be. This is what it is. And it's going to be healthier in the long run if you accept it and engage with it on those terms. And whether that be this is my primary game or this is just a game that I play a fair amount because I enjoy it, but I'm competitive over here instead, that either one of those is fine, right? And I think that those are all really valid and healthy ways to engage with the game.
This has been kind of revealing as we've talked, because I've contemplated a lot about what we've thought and don't know if I've ever really sat down and consolidated everything that's going on right now. It does look a little scary, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like, it does look
bit.
A little bad. It's because, I mean, my primary show is about Hearthstone Esports. And next week, I guess I'm going to open your specialist page and pull the numbers and talk about those for a little bit and be like, yep, Cyclone Mage, Shark Rogue, and Bomb Warrior. And that's going to be the section. It's...
Yeah, I mean, I was in Maine this weekend, and I haven't even run it yet because I figured it was going to be the same, and I was, you know, on hotel Wi-Fi all weekend, so.
I think that there's some really reasonable concern about the bubble of people that are going to be talking about this sort of thing are probably affected very much by the environment is the way I'd phrase it, but this feeling of loyalty as well. And it's not disloyal to do something different, but I think there might be something underneath. I was talking to a different friend of mine who had tweeted that he played Hearthstone every day for 5 years, stopped playing for a bit because he went on vacation, and didn't miss it. And something I wonder as well, and I've been this person as well, about who keeps playing Hearthstone because they know if they stop for a minute, they won't come back. Or at least that they feel like there's some deep level of, I play this every day, it's my game, but some deep feeling of I'm playing this because it's what I do, not because it's what I want to do. And if I stop playing, I'll lose what I've built community-wise, even though I don't actually want to play Hearthstone anymore. I wonder if there are people out there, because I definitely have had times where I felt obligated to hit Legend every month because that was my identity. The person on the show who was competitive and was able to get Legend every single month, no matter what. But then I listen back to our episodes when I'm editing, and we've gone from Appa being a tournament grinder and Vodkas going to DreamHacks and whatever, and me hitting Legend every single month for, like, I think 2 years in a row, to now we are all talking about different flavors of Tess Rogue that we're playing. And it's still, like, fun to talk about. It's still fun to engage with people about, and it's still fun to talk to our friends, even about different things.
And your show is not any less informative or any less entertaining than it was 2 years ago. You know, it's different, but I mean, that's kind of growing into a more comfortable, you know, more comfortable long-term relationship with the game too. It doesn't have to be about, you know, tryharding all the time. Like, sometimes you're just going to, you know, get into your jammies and grind a couple of tavern brawls. You know, it's it's not and that's OK. Right. Like, it doesn't have to be nonstop excitement all the time. And that's fine. I mean, and you know, again, like, I keep talking to, like, me moving on from communities, but, like, I know this feeling too when I stopped doing Disruption. Like, I was, you know, I'll be honest, like, the last, like, I don't know, year of doing Disruption, a lot of it was an inertia, and a lot of it was because my identity was tied up in being a tech podcaster on a major network, and I was terrified of what that meant for, you know, me as a person who existed on the internet if I were to give that up. And eventually I did, and I was very lucky to have a lot of people come with me. And I, you know, I'd established other, you know, other footholds in other communities, and I wasn't just, like, disappearing into the ether, but it felt like I was, you know, by giving up that thing that gave me validity in the community, that I was giving up all those social connections. And it wasn't true, but I mean, I'm sure, I mean, there are definitely some folks who I've lost contact with because of that, but, you know, it's also was coming to terms with the fact that, you know, being a professional tech podcaster wasn't for me, you know, but those things are hard to give up too. Like, for some people, I'm sure that giving up on Hearthstone or giving up on Hearthstone being a competitive game means giving up on a dream of being a Hearthstone competitor. And those are, that's a difficult thing to come to terms with, even if it means that you're shifting over to another game where that dream is more attainable, not because of your skill at the game, but because of the environment that the game exists in.
This is complicated stuff.
Yeah. Feelings are hard.
I'll go to my therapist this week. We can be like, we talk about Hearthstone. We talk about it's like, I don't know if there's really, I expected us to start this episode and be like, okay, not that here are the answers, but here are the questions we're asking about the feelings that people are having and connecting some dots and making some points. But in talking through it all, this is a different Hearthstone than we had last year or 2 years or 3 years ago. And I think the game is better. The sport is worse. The community is as good as it's ever been. But the amount of hours the game can take from us is probably at the lowest the ladder has been for a while. Maybe not as bad as Rastakhan's Rumble, because that was just the Boomstay meta, but again, neither here nor there. You know, and the power level stuff, they'll very clearly figure it out because they are very good at moving fast now. But it's not that ladder feels meaningless, that a lot of us are completing high school or college, whatever, like you alluded to, but just the time amount. A lot of people have been playing for 3 or 4 years. It's a good amount of time to be playing. If you are newer than that and you are enjoying yourself, I am really glad to have you playing the game. If you have been around since the beginning and you still love Hearthstone just as much, or you love it in a different way, by all means. But after a 3 or 4 year tour of duty through Hearthstone, I think it's going to be natural for a lot of people to be like, I don't know what this means to me in the same way anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that there's really not a better way to guide people in this episode than saying, take some time to reflect and think about what the game means to you and what you can keep and what you can lose. Because sometimes losing something might gain you something, right? Sometimes cutting back how many games you play or cutting back how frequently you play might actually gain you love, respect, appreciation for what the game is. Or you might find that the people you're talking to have very similar experiences and are more than happy to talk to you about other games.
Yeah, and I think that the games that we're talking about are all kind of in the wheelhouse of the people who are playing this game. So I think that this is just kind of, if anything, this is kind of a broadening of what these communities are, rather than some sort of an exodus or a breaking apart of what these communities are. I think it's just kind of a recognition that, you know, there are other games out there and some of them are going to be appealing to the same group of people, and that's healthy and that's okay. And if you don't enjoy that one kind of type of game, there are going to be other people who are enjoying some of the other games with you that, you know, whether they be Hearthstone, I'm sure, you know, nobody's going away, right? Like, these communities are still going to exist around Hearthstone. They'll also, you know, start to include some other games maybe. And that's okay. That's great. I think that it's healthy to, you know, to enjoy a lot of different games. I mean, even nothing like this. Like, we have a lot of discussion in our Discord about just, like, Metroidvanias, you know, or the new Fire Emblem that's going to come out this week.
Oh, yeah. I want to play that.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
I want to play Fire Emblem. I want to play Link's Awakening when it comes out September for sure. I want to play Underlords after they nerf Primordials because they're super gross right now. I want to play more Hearthstone. I want to play Magic Arena. I haven't had this kind of gaming opportunity of all these things that scratch the right itches at the same time ever. Like, we've never had this as a... gaming has never been this way for the niche digital card game community ever.
Yeah.
And it's great that we have the options, but it's a different landscape. And if you have pizza every day, pizza can be delicious. I love pizza. I love pizza. I want to make sure I'm clear. And I live in New York City. Boy, I could eat pizza every day. There have been multiple days where I've had pizza 8 meals in a row or whatever. Like, it's a thing. But then if someone opens up a burger shop and I've had pizza every day, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try a burger tonight. I'm going to try that. Then they open sushi down the street. And hopefully, if I'm lucky, they'll open a taco place in this town because I'm dying for good tacos. And that's not a metaphor. That's a true statement. But all these different options mean you can have different food whenever you want. And then you go back and have pizza and be like, oh, man, I forgot how good pizza was. I just want Hearthstone to be like pizza with no pineapple. You don't put pineapple on it.
It's good with banana peppers.
You almost lost me, but you said peppers at the end.
Yeah.
I was like, y'all putting bananas on pizza?
No, but pineapple with banana peppers. I learned this from some folks in my neighborhood. They had jalapenos. I can't do jalapenos. Banana peppers are just as good. You get the spicy with the sweet. That's how you enjoy pineapple on pizza. Try it next time. Either jalapenos if you're up for the spicy, otherwise banana peppers, but that is made pineapple on pizza palatable for me. And that is your takeaway for this episode.
I am now deeply curious and am going to plan my week around that.
Okay. I think you should. Just don't do like Domino's. Like go to a good pizza place.
Bruh. Domino's in Queens?
That's true.
That's insulting. That is actively insulting.
You're in New York. That's like going to seafood at Red Lobster in Massachusetts.
Or like going to Taco Bell in San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I feel like we've discussed our feelings enough. I don't know about you. I think this is also cathartic. I think that this has raised more questions, but I think that this is I don't know about you. I feel like I've probably had a lot of these feelings kind of bottled up and kind of, you know, conglomerated with each other for a while. And I think it's good to kind of talk through this and kind of give voice to what I and others are feeling.
I think I had intellectually understood some of this stuff, but not really emotionally processed it until we talked it out. There's always going to be someone competing in a qualifier. The qualifiers will always be full. And in a cynical Blizzard's esports sense, esports is dying off in Hearthstone and in every game because esports is not profitable and companies are stopping esports because it's losing them money and not making them money. So that's just going to be a correction across the board in multiple companies, and this is just one of them. But it has very real effects on some of the foundational pillars that a lot of communities were built on of I want to watch competitors, I want to be an amateur or semi-pro or pro competitor. I want to get there. And the ripple effects of these feelings are kind of hard to ignore. So I think by talking through it, it legitimized a lot of what people are going through to me and made it more real why it's so scary. And that some of these things that are happening to Hearthstone esports may not be fixed. It may be something that the game becomes less appealing as a competitive outlet. That might just be a reality that we have to deal with and accept. And it kind of sucks. And some people may stop playing Hearthstone because of it, and I'm sure it'll still be streamed, but I don't know. It is a different future that we're going into, and the game will be fine, but it won't be dominant if it continues the same path it's on. And I hope that's good enough for Blizzard to keep doing what they're doing with it, because they're doing a great job developing it, just not really selling it the same way that they used to or allowing people to buy in on a really high level.
Yeah, and I mean, if this ends up making it, you know, less of a money sink and more profitable in the long run, and they're selling cards because of it, then that's fine, right? Like, they'll keep making it because they've released patches for Warcraft 3 long before, like a couple of years ago. Like, they're still releasing content patches for Diablo 3, even though they haven't come out with any new content in years. Like, I'm not super worried about, like, them just, like, discontinuing the game unless they're making way for a new card game.
Yeah. Well, and Heroes of the Storm got discontinued because it was built as an esport. and didn't really work, and the company was moving away from it, and it wasn't well supported, right? It wasn't a property that was popular. They were releasing characters, but it was way too late in the genre's life to really make the same kind of dent. And the esports was kind of manufactured, was kind of propped up, and it didn't really work the way they needed it to. And so they moved on. Hearthstone is not a competitive game by design. People compete, but by design, this is a super accessible, super addictive, non-mechanic based, mobile friendly game. And anyone can play that. 100 million people do play. That's a cash cow. That's not going anywhere. And ladder as a means to prove your skills. I don't know about anybody else. The most competitive I feel in the game is not when I sign up for a master's qualifier, because I don't do that, because, oh God, why? The most competitive I feel when I queue up for a couple games of Hearthstone with a cool deck I saw, and I lose two games in a row, and that feeling I get in my chest, I'm like, I'm going to win the next one.
Yeah.
And then that is when I start playing Hearthstone every day for a week, because I want to win more. I want to avenge my own losses. That's still there. That's all internally driven, and you can still compete against yourself, the ladder, and whatever feelings you may have. You can still do that, because it's fun to win when you feel like you want to earn that win and you want to learn and get better and grow. But if you're doing it for a reward that's not internally driven, it can be harder to justify the pursuit if you're not feeling it.
Yeah. And I guess where I would leave it is I wouldn't wait for Blizzard to come in and fix things, because they may make changes. They may not. They may change things that are important to you. They may not. I would evaluate your relationship with the game as it is. And if you're not enjoying it anymore, I think it's okay to, you know, reevaluate that. But I wouldn't, you know, if you're holding out hope that Blizzard's going to suddenly realize what everything is wrong and fix it exactly the way you want it, it's not going to happen. It hasn't. But I think that the game that's there, they're making good steps to try to set it up for the future. And you kind of have to accept it as it is. It's an old dog. It's not, it can learn some new tricks. It's not, you know, it's I guess the middle-aged dog, but it's not going to be learning a whole bunch of new tricks. And you just have to figure out if it never changes, am I okay playing this more, or am I not enjoying this anymore? And kind of go from there. And that doesn't mean you need to, and that doesn't have to be a final decision. It can be a break. And you know, we've had people come back from breaks too. And, you know, they've come back to the community, or if they've decided they needed to leave. And sometimes they have, sometimes they haven't. And it happens, and it's fine. And, you know, do what makes you happy. This is it's a game you're supposed to enjoy yourself. You're supposed to be having fun. And if you're not, then figure out what inside or outside the game would make that happen. And if part of that is go and play something else for a while, so be it. Like, that's, we'll still be here for you when you get back.
Yeah. And it's easy to, as well, to see the behavior of coming back when new cards are released and playing until they're not interesting anymore. You look at those Twitch graphs. That is what the world is doing. The whole world is doing that. Every April is the biggest spike because that's rotation. And then every time a new set comes out, there is a smaller spike because it's new cards and people are interested. And then things trickle down and fall off until the next release of cards or the next rotation. The world is already doing this because interest is attached to new things. And when new things start being old things, then they become less interesting. Pretty normal, pretty standard. I generally do not play very much during the third or fourth month of any expansion, just because I want to wait for the cool new cards and I want to play with the new cards. And I want to talk about them and think about them. And I don't want to log in wanting my new toys.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want to sit in front of the Christmas tree on December 20th and look at the present. I don't want to do that. And then play with the same old train set that I got last year. No interest. I would rather wait and think about how great the presents are going to be and then do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And when I can open.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you if you keep shaking the box, you might break something.
Yeah.
All right. So on that note, for those who want to keep up with the competitive scene, even in the off season, and they want to listen to you talk more about, you know, about Hearthstone as we're going through this reveal season and into the new set, Where can people find you and Coin Concede and all of the wonderful things that you're doing?
So Coin Concede is at coinconcede.com. It's a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to making the competitive side of the game more accessible to you. Though also at this point, we also make fun of each other a lot and have hot takes on new cards or drama or whatever. We talk a bunch and it's fun. And we are at least tournament adjacent, if not tournament centric, but also we take an educational approach to the game. And honestly, we just get along really well, and it's kind of funny. And you can find me personally at twitter.com/ridiculoushat, where I tweet about things up to and including food, Hearthstone, other games, more food.
That's all the important stuff. That's all the important stuff.
Yeah. And where can people find you, Steve, people who are subscribed to your podcast?
Well, since you will, the one thing that you will get a lot of things at Coin Concede, the one thing that you will not get is deep priest in Hearthstone analysis, because I've been told that I am well aware of the anti-priest bias on that show. But, you know, it's okay.
Hold up a second, Steve.
It's okay.
We said the competitive side of Hearthstone, not the priest side of Hearthstone.
Wow. Okay.
So, we talked a lot about Xeric's priest. So when Psychopomp rotates in, I would not be surprised we have some priest stuff to talk about.
I just notice a lot of priest main getting thrown around as a slur lately, and I'm just telling you, I'm feeling very attacked and very seen. That's all I'm saying.
I look forward to it being a compliment.
I do too after
Blizzard adjusts the classic set and or after Psychopomp gets back something gross, and I am certain that card is a plant so they can nerf Barnes, by the way.
Awesome.
That is what that card is.
I hope so. And in the meantime, if you're looking for further pre-self-flagellation between now and when the new set comes out, you can find the show notes at offcurve.com. I'll have a link to TVZ Games' Twitlonger, along with probably some other things as I'm going back and editing this episode, because I actually edit the episodes where I have guests. And you can follow the show's account at offcurve. You can follow me on Twitter at wickedgood. Offcurve.com is also where you'll find the specialist meta report, not the meta report, the meta dashboards. The meta reports are at noprotier.com. And you can also join the Discord at discord.offcurve.com. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.offcurve.com. And you can also support the show either by leaving a review on iTunes, or if you are so inclined to support directly, that is also a thing you can do. Just look at the show notes or in your podcast client right now, and there should be a link to that. So any final thoughts, Hap, before we let these people go? As usual, we've gone on for about half a card review, which is about a good chunk of time for the show, so...
Nah, I think this has been productive and useful for me, as well as for hopefully you and the listeners. And I think I might go talk to some ice cream about this.
Ooh, I want some ice cream. All right, so we're going to go get some ice cream. So until next time, enjoy the game on your terms, and be good to each other. We'll talk soon. Have a good one.
Bye.